Hello, my name is Eric Ponder, and I am here interviewing Samuel Mazibanika. Samuel is a current resident of Hillbrow, and we're just going to discuss Hillbrow. So, Sam, when was the first time you arrived in Hillbrow?
I first arrived in Hillbrow in 2015, October. Yeah, that was my first time that I came to South Africa, and I came straight to Hillbrow.
And so, so you're Zimbabwean?
Yeah, my nationality is Zimbabwean. I'm a born Zimbabwean.
Okay, and being from Zim, we know that the economy has been really tough.
Yeah,
many
that's true.
People have come to South Africa to live.
That's true. That's a fact.
And so is that part of your story as well?
Yeah, it's part of my story, but at the end of the day, some people our ages, they've managed to make it in Zimbabwe, as hard as it is right now, but not everyone has the chance, you know?
So when they think of Hillbrow, when people think of Hillbrow, they think of migrants, they think of people, foreigners.
That's
they
true.
They think of people from Zambia, Nigeria, Zimbabwe as well.
That's true.
Has Hillbrow become a neighborhood of foreigners?
Truthfully speaking, I don't want to lie. I think most foreigners feel like a bit safer than Hillbrow, you know? Mm-hmm. Back then, when I was like in Zim, or we could oversee even in the movies of South Africa, you would tell me maybe Hillbrow is like a location in South Africa, it's violent, and you know, it's a place where if anyone has nowhere to go, they can just like walk to Hillbrow. But I was shocked when I came here in 2015. Each and every place in South Africa, yeah, I think everywhere in the world, you know, there is violence, there is gunning, there is thieves, there is like raping. But I think the problem was in Hillbrow, the problem was there were so many different people from Malawi, Zimbabwe, Namibia, and to put them in one place, you know, it causes commotion. But to my surprise, obviously, Hillbrow is like demarcated into two parts, you know. There's like the lower part of Hillbrow, which is connected to like Jobet Park. Then there's the upper part of Hillbrow, that is, they call it like High Point, a U-Vell, and that other part, that side, I don't want to lie. Even the place, the accommodation, the sanities, and everything about that place is a bit like off, just because it's not as clean as it is. And even the shops and the accommodation, they're not like standard, you know. And most of those people, even the police, they barely patrol there because they know they are prone to like gun violence. But when I came to Hillbrow my first time, I could barely even go down to buy a loaf of bread. Just I had that inception that it is a violent place. But right now, I knock off at 3 a.m. I go home. If I find that my daughter doesn't have something to eat, I can always walk with my daughter to the spa, a 24-hour spa.
Okay.
And I can come home safe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's my part of Hillbrow.
So when you initially came to Johannesburg in 2014, correct?
Uh-huh.
And you already had family here. You had a sister.
Yeah, my sister was here.
So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, my sister, I think she initially moved here like 7 years ago. Yeah, I think 7-8 years ago, because she was the oldest. So when she currently finished school, our family wasn't that like, you know, like stable. So she took a chance and she came here and started looking for work. And she has been there for us, and the husband was Air Force General. He retired, then he also came to the site, he got a job. He's now a truck driver. So from then, but we have cousins. Yeah, we have cousins, some distant family, they are here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to lie, the truth of the matter is each and every family that is in Zimbabwe, half of that family, they're in South Africa, and that's a fact.
Uh-huh.
People might deny it. Some of them, they are making in South Africa. And I don't know, I'm making it just because I can actually wake up in the morning, go to work, pay my taxes, pay my fees, pay my debts. That's good enough.
So when you came to Johannesburg the first time,
mm-hmm.
were you able to find a job? Were you able to find employment in the country?
Yeah, the first time that my sister called me, she had got me a job like as a scullery at a workplace.
As a
scullery in the kitchen, it's a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
But when I came that side, I don't know, it was like, I think at that time it was 2015. Early 2015, she was the only like Zimbabwean in that restaurant, Ocean Basket.
Mm-hmm.
it was close to Dross, I think it was in Sandton. So I think I worked there for like 3 days, and I was like, you know, I'm desperate for a job, but I can't work under conditions like this.
Okay.
Because there's nothing that I can ever do that can actually abide by these people. Because at the end of the day, anything that happens, they'll be like, you know, these people are coming to like take our opportunities and stuff. And I was like, okay, it's fine. And unfortunately, I was born like, I don't know, each and everyone that I meet in my life, you know, I just make this impact. I talk a lot, I'm a blabber mouth, I know, but at the end of the day, it gets me somewhere. So I met this guy, and he wanted a chauffeur, a driver. And I'd left my license like at home, so I made arrangements. I brought it here, got it certified. If you have a foreign license, you can drive for 3 months, then they can convert it to South African.
Okay.
So I got the job by the class 2 driver's license. The class 2 in Zimbabwe, you can drive, they have vehicles. But I used to, he wanted a personal assistant, someone who did accounts, purchase supply, but I didn't have those qualifications. But in a week's time, I could do his bookkeeping, I could do his meetings, and I could make his job a better.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Affordable Homes. The guy's name was Gavin. He was very young, I think, but then he was 24. The dad had passed away, so he had left in Eastgate. Because back then it was a lot of money. I think that guy had more, like 3 million rands. He was young,
wow.
You know? So truthfully, that is what happened, and I think I waited for him for 3 months. Yeah, he treated me well, but at the end of the day, he kind of took advantage of me. Because at the end of the day, I think he was that kind of gender, you know, and since I was like a bit desperate, and he gave me a chance when I didn't have like the correct things, and I did well, he started like going over the lap, you know, and I'm from Zimbabwe, and my morals, they are everything to me.
Yeah.
I left, and I went back home.
Okay.
I wrote my meds. One sitting and a pass, A+. Then I applied for a college intern. Then I started teaching mathematics since then. So last year, 2016, I teach mathematics for like 5-6 months. But back then I built like a fowl run at home. I had like day old chicks. But I kind of had a plan to convert them into like off layers so that they can make like eggs.
Okay.
So I had like 120, so I could make like maybe $400 a week. Yeah, for a young guy like me, because I take care of my mother, she doesn't work, it was fine and pay raise. But I had a feeling, you know, in South Africa I can be a better person. So I came back last year, 24th of September. I came back to Hubro, that is where my sister's staying. Then I looked for a job. And this shop that was staying, like the IT corner, the first shop that I came to look for a job, but okay. Unfortunately I didn't get one.
Right.
Then now I work at Shai Nuno's Melville, 7th Street, but I still stay in Hubro. Now I managed to move out, now I'm staying in Hubro permanently myself.
Mm-hmm. And so do you consider Hillbrow to be home for you? Is that your safe place here in South Africa?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it's good for me to move somewhere that is nice and stuff, but the flat that I live in Hillbrow, to me, I'm fine.
So, besides your sister and yourself, do you have a community of people, whether they live in Hillbrow or in Johannesburg in general?
Yeah, we do. We do have friends from back then, and you know, when you get to a new place, you make like new friends. Yeah. So these friends, we I think we may be around like 12. Sometimes we go out, but we just made a pact, you know, we can't just be friends when you go out and drink.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be a friend and just like miss a club, you know, like, you know, after every week, you know, someone can pick the 500 rands. Then after every month, we can do a roll call. Then, you know, we can like play funds, you know.
Right, right.
So we can able to make money.
So, you moved to South Africa, came directly to Johannesburg, live in Hillbrow, you're now working, you're a young man.
Mm-hmm.
What does your future hold for you? How do you kind of see your future 5 years, 10 years down the road?
To tell the truth, I'm just gonna, you know, pull myself back to 2 years, you know.
Okay.
How can I say it? Okay. I see myself, you know, the first thing that I want in my life, you know, by like the end of this year, I want to start something, you know. I want to do something for myself. I can't actually pinpoint like I want to be this or this, but by the end of the year, I should have, like, you know, something just tangible that I can say I can start off by next year. That is mine. I can get the funds to start something else, but you know, in life, we're black, you know, you can never get funds until you have something tangible.
Very
because
true.
Tragedy always strikes, you know. So in 2 years' time, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to open my own, like, small restaurant. I always did a thing for cars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My dad did a company for hydraulics and pneumatics. I did that for some time with my uncle, I think for 2 years. Even from now, if you kind of like bring even a two-ton truck, you know, in Argos and Atios, you know, I can strip it down.
Wow, okay.
Hydraulics and pneumatics, not the engines, but hydraulics and pneumatics.
Okay.
That's my thing. So
you have a daughter?
Yeah, I do have a daughter.
How old is she?
My daughter is turning, she's two now, but she's turning three on the 11th of September.
Okay.
Her name is Nokutenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you see for her future? Will it be a future here in South Africa, or do you envision ever returning to Zim?
Okay. Truthfully speaking, I want to give her the life that I never had. My mom strived. I went to an A school all the way, but it wasn't easy. But I want my daughter to do like the things the way that I did them. She is, yeah. Obviously, she's going to a pretty exceptional school like here. But at the end of the day, when she starts like grade one, I want her to go back to Zim.
Okay.
She's going to stay with my mother. And if all goes well, you know, I might have that chance to, you know, to move back and forth, moving back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to have the proper education until she gets to tertiary, even professional level. I want her to do it in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
As hard as it is to be believed, but I think, for me, I feel that's better.
So do you feel... I know you have a sister here, you have friends, you have family, but do you consider this to be home, or South Africa to be home, Hillbrow to be home, or is it just home for the moment? How do you kind of see yourself?
To tell the truth, South Africa is like, it's a home for now. Okay, if I have to just speak the cloud, to me South Africa is a bus stop. I'm waiting for the next bus. Because when I did my IT and PC engineering, I didn't have the funds, but if I paid my school fees in time, the three guys that I went, they are like working in Afghanistan right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing networking and PC engineering, you know.
Right.
And they are making things big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so unfortunate, I didn't have like the right amount of funds, you know, I could be somewhere.
Right.
So to me, South Africa is just a stepping stone.
Okay.
I want to go further. I don't know where further, but... I want to go further.
Okay.
I want to go somewhere that maybe after 10 years,
okay,
I can, you know, look back and I'm like, yeah, I broke the wall to be here. That is what I want. But South Africa is a bus stop.
Okay.
No offense, but it's just a bus stop. It's a stepping stone to somewhere else.
Okay.
But to me, for now, I'm okay, but I want to elevate from this.
So last question for you, Sam. Would you kind of argue or say that for many people who live in Hillbrow,
mm-hmm,
that Hillbrow in South Africa is just a bus stop, just a selling point, and then move on to bigger and better things?
Okay, to tell the truth, some of our colleagues and some people, you know, they've actually like deposited flats. You can deposit the flat in your parent, like, you know, I did.
Right.
But some people, they like, if you open someone's room and you find someone has bought like each and every furniture that you want in life in any foreign country,
mm-hmm,
they settled. Some people, they got good jobs, you know, they have signed contracts,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
they can like consider this a home.
Okay.
So that tomorrow, if there's termination, they can just do something about it. Some people, they are comfortable here.
Yeah.
They are very okay.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, you know, it's a land of opportunity.
Right.
Because no offense to South Africans, but at the end of the day, we foreigners, I as a Zimbabwean, we are workaholics, you know.
Right.
In my own language, in Shona, you know, we like call it like Simba repair, as in it actually means that, you know, when it comes to working for something, we were like designed in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
That is why you saw in a point in time, like back then, there was that xenophobia thing. I was actually shocked when I opened the radio and Jacob Zuma was like, okay, it's okay. You're telling me that Zimbabweans, they have no like good papers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if you tell me that you're going to knock down each and every flat that in Hillbrook or any other town, and you're going to send Zimbabweans like one by one back home.
Right.
Me, as a president, I'm going to need to authorize like $1 billion in transport,
yeah.
And those flats, they are going to come down. Who is going to stay in those flats?
Very true.
Because tell the truth, we do contribute at the end of the day.
Very true. So that raised another question for me.
No problem,
and,
sir.
And that's, did you hear what the mayor of Johannesburg had to say about Hillbrow and extending resources to foreigners? He was saying that he argued that, you know, it's not his job to help foreigners settle in.
I did hear, just because, you know, the sanitation, that is why I was saying the higher part of the Hillbrow thing, the flats, they are like maybe like a municipality flats. So even if there's a best pipe electricity, you know, they feel like it's waste resources. But our side, they're like private owned flats.
Okay.
They were like municipal flats, but you know, people like cooperatives, that is why like South Africa corporate, they bought this flat. So it's good service delivery.
Okay.
At the end of the day, even if it doesn't extend things to you, bro, I might be bothered about the road.
Right.
But at the end of the day, when I open my door, I'm fine.
You're great. Well, Sam, it was a pleasure talking to you.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Oh, that was great. Thank you so much.
No, don't mention it. To me, it's like an opportunity. I've always wanted to tell a story, you know, about